WEEI Afternoons at Fenway Park in our Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studios, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and F-Series. Hurry in for your last chance to get employee pricing for all during the Great American Sales Event. A great American just strolled through the studio door here. Ted Johnson in a flowery shirt. How are we doing today, Mr. Johnson?
I'm good, boys. I like you describing me that way.
Hey, you're a great American. Plus, you had your America shirt on yesterday. Yeah. We're heading towards 4th of July. It's a great time to be alive.
One of my favorite all-time holidays.
Me too. It's definitely top three for me.
Without question.
Thanksgiving, Christmas, 4th of July. Those are the big three.
I almost couldn't. Don't think I'd disagree.
Yeah.
I put it right there. So feeling like all you boys, you know, kind of just high on life.
Yeah, other than the Red Sox stink right now, it's good to be alive and at Fenway Park.
No doubt.
So hopefully they turn that around.
And we also right now.
And right now they got a 6-game losing streak, I believe, or a 5-game.
That's not great.
But they also had a 5-game losing streak as well. So this will be their longest losing streak if they happen to lose today. But
they're not going to.
The thing about this team, there's still compelling storylines, even though the record is what it is. And I think they're still a kind of fun, fascinating, compelling team to watch, regardless of what the record says.
Yeah, especially Fitzy, for those of us that wanted to see guys like Mayer, who unfortunately, Dan Ball told us, has been placed on bereavement leave, Marcelo Meyer. Roman Anthony, like those of us that wanted to see young players, even Brian Bayo is not an old guy. Rafael has turned things around lately. He's a guy that some people wanted to get rid of. Now he's one of your hottest hitters. If you asked like I did for the youth movement, well, you got to be willing to take the lumps that sometimes come with a youth movement. So that's where we are. And they might turn a corner.
Gave up on that youth movement because you already traded one of them away, right?
Wait a minute. Did I give up on him or did they?
Well, they did. First and you second.
You know what happened?
You get a lot of crap, so people understand. You basically told the Red Sox to trade Christian Campbell.
So Christian Campbell and I, there's something very different about us. Not at height or athletic ability or ability to play baseball or anything.
All right, I'm at
Fenway Park today, and he's in Worcester. So that's very different. He is not at Fenway Park anymore. So out of sight, out of mind. I didn't turn my back on him. The organization did. But it's 3:00. Ted Johnson's here. Fitzy's here. Hart's here. It's time for the 3-point stance.
It's the 3-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bam!
Easy as 1, 2, 3.
Pasternak, a hat trick and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three.
And it is gone. A 3-run homer and the game is tied.
On WEEI Afternoons.
As a large group of individuals, all wearing green Red Sox shirts, walk by the WEEI studios here at Fenway Park and have very limited interest in what we're doing here in this room. It is time for today's 3-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons, which is brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, or you get to be at Fenway and not down in Worcester, suck at Christian Campbell, you got to get Glassman. You can call all sevens at 617-777-7777. As it is 3:00 here on WEEI Afternoons, we have three hosts, each of which will present their stance on the biggest stories in the world of sports today. Each host will get 60 seconds to present their opening stance, after which we will open up for discussion and debate on each and every one. Our order today is Andy Hart, then Nick Fitzy-Stevens, then Ted Johnson. Andy, you will lead us off. Are you ready?
Absolutely.
I'm fascinated to see how many words you can get into a 60-second span today. I'll give you those 60 seconds, and they start right now.
I'm going to pace myself, slow it down a bit. But
I'm sure.
I think the NBA has some of the greatest athletes on the planet. I mean, if we look at it and say there's guys that are 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", 7'2", doing some of the things they do is remarkable. And yet, for some reason, with bigger, stronger, faster, better athletes, I don't feel like they are maximizing their opportunities to take over the sports world. I know the NFL is the king, but I look at the NBA. The NBA draft, I only saw portions of it, but all I saw was negative responses to the coverage, the product, the whole thing. The finals, I think there were two fun teams that didn't seem to really catch the interest of the sports world. The slam dunk contest, 3-point contest, and All-Star Weekend. When I was Lil Fat Andy, I watched every minute of it. All I hear now is complaints about All-Star Weekend and all those things that take place. I don't know exactly what the solution is, but we say baseball struggles to market themselves. I feel like the NBA has gone in that direction where they are not maximizing their personalities and their talents the way they should these days.
Interesting.
Okay. So your major overall point of all that is to say what?
They are missing the mark with their marketing opportunities and taking advantage of the greatest athletes on the planet. Baseball has an issue. Okay, I don't think they have great athletes.
So so you're using their physique to highlight something that they could, you know, use to their benefit to market in their game.
Okay. Well,
but Tatum's sub has bacon.
Tatum's sub has bacon, and yet the NBA,
I think
is doing what they should be doing. And so, they have great personalities, too. You know, people always said, oh, Mike Trout's boring. He likes the weather or whatever. Like, the NBA has great personalities. You hear some of these guys. You see some of these families and the different things that go on in the background.
I wonder. Yeah, you know what? This is interesting. I wonder if they all have, because of their own social media and their own platforms, that
maybe
that they don't do maybe what, you know, what's in best for the league,
maybe
doing what's best for their own personal
brand. Maybe. I just, if I'm Adam Silver, I'm a little bit worried that we're not sort of hitting the strikes that are right down the middle right now. We're kind of fouling off some pitches.
I mean, their TV product is such a fascinating thing to examine right now, because it very much is about the individuals on, like, your panels, so to speak. They had Stephen A. Smith. They had Kendrick Perkins. And then you have the Inside the NBA crew. Everybody talks about what those guys have to say more than they actually talk about the subjects that they're talking about.
It's a great point.
Players, the team.
Shaq and Charles Barkley are more popular than just about every player they talk about.
Right, and that's not a really sustainable dynamic for a league, I would imagine, if your studio personalities are more popular than some of your biggest stars.
I'm very worried about you with what you're saying.
Well, I mean, Stephen A. Smith's histrionics are so far over the top that he's got, like, the greatest case of look-at-me-ism, I think, in all of mainstream media right now, which is maddening to me. You may also just have a generational issue where you haven't drawn a lot of magnetic personalities. Not everyone can be like Mike. Not everybody is Shaq. LeBron has been over-marketed around the entire world. There just may not be some guys that they can take advantage of the same way that they've been able to ride the coattails of some of these greater personalities recently, because, I mean, I get plenty of, I hear Draymond Green and people are on the shop, and there's so much media product out there from the NBA these days. Maybe it's just not for us. Maybe we're just older folk that don't really care for the way that they're peddling their product these days.
You know, another thing the NBA is not happy with is you talk about the studio show guys being more popular than the actual players they cover, which is true. But they also are guys that are very critical of the league and the players. Like, they basically, you know, were mocking the two teams that were in the finals. Yep. And so, you know, that's not everybody being on the same page, obviously. And I think that, to some degree, you know, hurts the brand and hurts kind of what you're suggesting, Andy, that they try and get to.
And just to throw this in before we move on, like, the Caitlin Clark Angel Reese rivalry and what it's done to the WNBA, percentage wise, I think they are taking better advantage of sort of what they have to work with than the NBA is right now. But Fitz, you stumbled on something there. I mean, Jason Tatum and SGA, great players, right? All NBA, an MVP, a champion in back-to-back years. I don't know if any of us find them like, ooh, I get to see what he says or does, or like, they go about their business being good basketball players.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They're not Mahomes. They're not Josh Allen. They're not something like, who do you really want to see Jake from State Farm in an ad with SGA? I'm good.
I really don't know anything about SGA. That's another thing. Like, other than I saw a little buildup during the finals, and he seems like
he's in Oklahoma,
a nice guy. He doesn't party, so the team doesn't party. They're all kind of falling in line behind him. Everybody loves him, but like, he seems almost Mike Troutish. Like, I'm going to show up and be a really great generational talent, but other than that, you're on your own. I'm not a marketer.
Which is great for your local market, and I think Boston people really probably enjoy the fact that Jason Tatum is very similar. Like, there isn't a lot of off-court antics that you need to worry about.
Right.
But in the same vein, when you were talking about one of your biggest stars, a face of the league that we talk about, LeBron James was in Cleveland. That's not a massive market by any stretch of the imagination, but we knew everything about LeBron on court and off. And so I'll ask you to start as we talk about some of the stars outside of, say, LeBron and Steph Curry, your veterans that have been around there for a while. Who's the who's the person, the biggest personality in the NBA? Who's the guy that either, whether you love him or you hate him, you cannot stop watching blank in the NBA?
Oh, man. It's
hard to answer at this point, isn't
it? Yeah. I mean, it's not obviously Halliburton. Is it Mitchell, you know, in Cleveland?
Right.
Ant.
Ant-Man in Minnesota. So
I have a theory when Ted's done as well.
You also lost some opportunities. Like, I think Ja Morant was going in that direction, and then he started playing pistols and clubs, and that kind of went off the thing. Or Zion Williamson with all, like, he was a bigger star coming out of college than he is now.
Yep.
Yeah, and then he ate his way into irrelevance,
right,
Andy.
Right.
Is there like a void of the superstar in the Jason Tatum era, if you think about it? Like,
yeah.
A lot of KD, LeBron, they're older stars aging out.
And superstars.
And then you talk about the other ones, right. Ant and, you know, SJ, and you go, well, they're still too young. I don't know anything about them. Right. Well, where's the Jason Tatums of the world in that 28 to 32 range that are our next, you know, superstars? They're right. not
They haven't
there.
Taken the torch. They haven't. Because there's little pot shots against Luka. Luka could be a guy or should be a guy who should be in that world, but he was traded and he's fat and he drinks and he's not this and he's never going to win. Well, he doesn't play.
I think that actually has a lot to do with it, fellas. I think one thing that has been mentioned, Bill Simmons has done a lot on this. Adam Silver would probably tell you this in private close quarters. The Euroification, if you will, of a lot of the stars in the NBA is becoming a marketing problem. Nikola Jokic doesn't want to do anything except go back and, you know, work his horse farm. Luka Doncic is not the easiest guy to market in the world. Giannis Antetokounmpo is a stunningly handsome, super fit, superhero looking guy, but it just doesn't translate the same way that KD, LeBron, and some of your other American stars do.
I'd say it's an excellent point, Fitzy. And who was the European point guard? I forget. He went to Minnesota, I believe.
Ricky Rubio.
Yeah,
like marquee good looks, but just didn't translate.
But in that, I think, proves your point. I thought he was going to be one of the biggest stars in the NBA. And never, ever did he come close to reaching those heights.
You know who's a really big star, Ted? I don't know what's going to happen with Wemby, and we hope that he's healthy. But remember, you know who they were able to do a bang-up job with? Yao Ming.
Can I write a check?
Oh, like
he went viral just for the simplest of things. Even George Murison had a freaking Billy Crystal movie. There's a dearth of relatable, accessible stars.
But China completely backed the Rockets in Yao. Like it was like an entire country getting on board with that player, Fitzy. But it's a great point one to bring up.
We just had a good spitball marketing session for the NBA.
I'll throw one more factor out there.
I'll be honest, I thought your 3-point, I was like,
you thought it was stupid. We haven't stopped talking about it yet. Yeah. We haven't even gotten to points 2 and 3 with you guys.
It turned out to be
I still haven't even given you crap for your
Christian
point either.
I want to throw one more thing in there very quickly, and I know we have two more to get to. There's also a really interesting age gap between the stars in the NBA right now. You have your Durants and your LeBrons that were drafted in the early and mid-2000s that are now in their late 30s and kind of aging out. And then you have your Tatums, your Doncic's, SGA's, Wemby's, the guys that are in their mid-20s. You look at the first overall picks in that 2010s range, Anthony Bennett, Ben Simmons, Andrew Wiggins, Markelle Fultz, DeAndre Ayton, these superstar level, like first overall pick.
Right.
Who is
Hey man on the hype train?
Who are those stars that are right in their prime, late 20s, early to mid 30s, right in prime championship winning time in their careers that are the faces of the NBA? There isn't any. So it's either guys that are still kind of developing their stardom or guys that are aging out. There's really nobody in that sweet spot in the middle. Look at you, Andy Hart, bringing up this.
You're
welcome. All right, Ted.
Okay, yes, sir. Is it my turn?
We will get to you in just a moment because I forgot how the order works on this segment. Fitzy, are you ready, my friend?
Yes, indeed, I am. Thank you, Dan.
All right, I wish I could say the same about myself, but here are 60 seconds that begin right now.
Splash of audio, Stanley, please.
Hey, everyone, good luck. Good luck, everyone, okay? Bring it home. Bring it home, boys, okay?
That's right. That is the Quincy PD loading up bus one earlier today for your two-time defending Major League Rugby champion New England Free Jacks, who are looking for the three-jack, the three-peat tomorrow as they take on The Houston SaberCats at Centerville
Says
Bank
here.
Stadium. I don't know the name of every team. I've been three times to see the Free Jacks, for Christ's sakes. I've invited you jackasses to come with me, and none of you went, and you've missed out on a damn good time. Everyone that is listening to me right now, if you're not a rugby fan and you've never watched and you can't make it down to Pawtucket tomorrow, the match is going to be on 2 p.m. tomorrow on ESPN2 as the New England Free Jacks, the best championship caliber team right now. They've won two championships in a row. The first 2 years they've been in Major League Rugby. Back to back, they've won the Champion Shield. They're going for the three-peat tomorrow, 2 o'clock on ESPN2. Or if you can, there's 10,500 seats at Centerville Bank Stadium in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. It's an awesome take. You don't even have to know crap about rugby. There's delicious food, rock and roll, lots of beer, and big dudes smashing other dudes. Huzzah! Go Jacks!
You have to be an honorary captain for this event.
Yeah.
Are you not, Fitzy?
Coin toss.
Ted, it's just that when you go someplace, it's probably happened to you at restaurants or events where somebody sees you, you're like, hey, you're Ted Johnson. And next thing you know, they bring you behind the kitchen or whatever, and they give you free drink and they make you feel like family. Going down there a couple times, bringing my kids, being welcomed into the stands with the fans, meeting the players, being taught the game a little bit. It's such a dynamic environment. And also, they're champions. They have won twice in a row. We don't pay any attention to it because rugby doesn't sell the same way that hockey, basketball, and, of course, actual football does. But it's a great take, and I think people are just whistling by what fun it is. And now you get a chance to hop on a fan wagon as a team strives for a third title in a row. Plus, there's football ties. The team is co-owned by Nate Ebner and Patrick Chung, guys.
Oh, he's such a homer. All
right, here we go. We mock what we don't understand.
Always.
Good point.
Fitzy, I'm glad you brought this up as a Quincy guy on the show. I told you this. I was having a conversation with a friend's girlfriend, and I mentioned that I was living in Quincy, and that was the first thing that she went to. Oh, have you gone and see the Free Jacks yet?
Okay.
The fact that the sport is almost secondary to the folks that go. It's a gathering, the tailgates beforehand, the environment during the game, the music, the entertainment, and then the fact that everybody just kind of swarms the field after the fact. Like, there are so many other elements that I believe go into making this Fitzy an event much more than just a match.
I want to make sure also real quick.
Ever,
what's that, Ted?
This is the oddest segment ever and our topic ever, but I'm going to jump in and say I've been to one.
Oh, yeah.
And let's just keep it going. I think they're fun too. So
yes, and they're marketing.
Go,
we're talking about marketing. Like, they're making the most out of what they. It's like Savannah Bananas.
No doubt.
They're marketing what they have. They're making
it
an event.
This is the best 3-point stance ever, you boys. I'm telling you. It's great. It is. It's really
something
else. The bigger
clubs could learn something from them.
100%.
Yes, they can.
Like, engage with your fans. Like, it's supposed to be fun.
It's affordable. It's inexpensive. They do a great job marketing with the fans, Andy. They bring the people down onto the field afterwards to meet them. And yeah, the fact that they continue to win as well is a really big deal. So I hope people check them out tomorrow.
That's an interesting point that you bring up, too, and I don't think we have enough time for this because we got to get to Ted's. But
we got next segment. I need my own segment now.
Oh,
yeah. Wow. Teddy getting his own segment.
I'm getting my own segment. You're not squeezing me out here at the end. No.
I would actually love to see Dan Ball try to squeeze you out.
I got things to say.
I am far too intimidated to do that.
That got octagonish.
You bring up something really interesting about being a fan right now. Being a fan makes me feel like a cash machine.
I hate it.
It's kind of unbelievable. Like, you go in and you have to budget for a night at insert name of sports venue here.
Yes.
Versus, hey, I'm just going, have a good time. Yeah, I paid for the tickets. I'll throw down a couple bucks for a beer or whatever else. But I'm here to have a good time, to be with family, with friends, with other people who share the same common interest. That is so far in the rearview mirror being a sports fan right now.
But even worse than that for me is you have to do that. You have to invest, and it's very expensive. And then you have to hear, well, we can't afford our players. We got to trade Kristaps Porzingis for money reasons. We got to trade Rafi Devers and Mookie Betts for money reasons.
That'll be $20 for a 24-ounce Miller Lite, please.
It's one thing to pay and just enjoy yourself, but you're kind of hit on both ends of the spectrum. It'd be like when I went on my vacation. If I pay through the nose there, and I'm not saying it, and then they tell me, I got bad news for you, sir. We're not making a lot
vacation,
of money.
Andy?
We actually have to get rid of some of the drinks because we're not making enough money. You're like, you're a business. I paid you a bunch of money. I want to show up now and enjoy myself. We're in sports, this need for us to know what their books look like. Like, why do I need to know your books? Put a damn team on the field that makes me want to show up and pay said $20 for a beer and $8 for a hot dog.
Yeah.
And you keep your business in the back end, right? Like, I don't want to know the rest of that. You're right. Money is too much
a part of sports these days.
I've actually had this conversation with somebody in PR in the NFL, and they've said this. Like, the NFL years ago told fans, Goodell stood at a press conference and said, our goal is to go from a $12 billion organization like to $30 billion.
Like the fans
why are you telling them that? Yeah. Just entertain them.
That's a good point.
Right? Give them a, like, why do we need to know that it's a business? It's not a business.
Take money from you via YouTube TV, your fantasy league, jerseys that get cheaper by the year, ticket prices that go up all the time, even though it's more fun and more comfortable to stay at home, Ted. Yeah, that's what we'll do as the Philip Morris of sports continues to absolutely just empty your wallets year after year.
Let me throw this out. Just one little thing before we step away for 1 second. I've always gotten, I've had my host in the past that I've worked with totally disagree with me on this, but I don't think our salaries should be public information.
I agree.
I don't think, you know, ex-Joe fan Joe from Saugus should know what Ted Johnson's salary is playing in the NFL.
I agree.
Yeah, 100%.
And the reason why they do is the explanation they give for having them public is, well, players need to know each other's, you know, salary so they can negotiate. Well, it's like, you know what? You can have a secure website where we go to. Still doesn't need to be. And it was also this. People like to play GM, and they think, you know, they're, oh, the salary cap. The Patriots have this amount of salary cap, and so this is how much they can spend on this. And so all of a sudden people become these like GMs. And so that's why money is talked about from a NFL standpoint is the way it was, you know, kind of pushed to me.
And that makes sense. And it's good for us, if we're being honest, as a show. Because if you eliminated the business talk, you eliminate a big chunk of what we talk about 365 days a year.
Imagine just having to talk about 162 Red Sox games
with
no other implications.
Just pitching changes in bullpen.
I'll be honest, it's the last thing that interests me usually for this job is the business side of sports.
Right, but it's very popular with a lot of people because it allows you to be passionate and bitch and like, you cheap owners, you're screwing me. Like, there's definitely a lot of passion there. So I believe for the first time ever, Dan Ball, we're going to have a two-segment, an overflow edition of the three-point stance because the big man said, you're not squeezing me in. I'm getting my time. So up next, the first ever second segment of the three-point stance. And all I can say is, Ted Johnson, you better have something good. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.